If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
How automakers and car dealers can survive the Chinese EV onslaught. That is the article written by Howard Tolman. Howard joins us every Tuesday at this time. Howard, how are you today?
Good. And talk about a catchy title for an article. Wow.
I know. Howard doesn't write the titles. The editor of Inc.com writes the titles. Oh, my gosh. So, you know, I learned something when I was in Germany because we visited the Mercedes-Benz Museum, which was impressive, Howard. But, you know, I grew up thinking that, you know, we were so far advanced than the rest of the world when Henry Ford came along. And really, he was manufacturing. He wasn't, you know, creating the first cars. And I think that there is a belief in America that when it comes to EVs, Elon Musk is king. And that's not necessarily true, right?
Well, for sure, these days, I mean, you know, for the first time in, I think, 12 years, the Tesla sales, you know, are off. And you could say that's because of his connection to Trump, or you could say it's because of the Cybertruck, which looks like a garbage container on wheels. In fact, they tell me that raccoons are now trying to get into these cars because they do think that they're dumpsters. But in any event, I think that we don't understand that most of the battery technology is coming from the Asian countries, a great deal of the production. And by the way, just to be clear, I mean, there's no question that a lot of the software that's being developed over there was maybe originally created in the U.S., but it's been successfully pirated or stolen or whatever. So it's, I mean, the bottom line is, as I said in the article, people think that Tesla is selling, you know, an astonishing number of EVs. You know, there's a little company that nobody's heard of, BYD in China, that sold about 3 million EVs, which is a million more than Tesla. And that's just one of about a dozen Chinese companies that are coming. And, you know, my article talks about the fact that we don't even remember that there didn't used to be Acura and Infiniti and Lexus, but those are all the luxury line brands of Toyota and Nissan and Honda. And I would expect that we'll see the same kind of thing with respect to the Chinese invasion of EVs.
Are we all going to be driving EVs? And if so, by what year do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, we're going to be driving a version of EVs within the next decade. I mean, virtually everyone, in part because of regulations. You know, they're just, I mean, you know, carbon-based, you know, gas-fueled vehicles are just, you know, basically dirty and pollutant. So I think we're moving in that direction. They have virtually, you know, no moving parts, you know, compared to U.S., you know, domestic cars. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to think that as the cost of production comes down, especially with respect to batteries, and as the range of these vehicles increases, one of the sort of unfortunate parts of the whole EV situation is, on the one hand, we all suffer from range anxiety, like we're going to run out of electric, you know, and most of us don't drive more than 5 or 10 miles a day. And so it's a non-issue. But the other thing is the charging stations. Now, again, the Infrastructure Act that President Biden put in place is going to deploy thousands of EV charging stations all along the highways and things. But right now, I mean, the worst nightmare about an EV is if you have to go to a charging station, it only takes about 45 minutes. But that's if you're first in line. If there's five other people ahead of you, you could be there half a day. And that's a problem of availability of the charging, you know, stations so far.
Right. And people in the city might only drive 5 or 10 miles a day. But if you're commuting from the suburbs or, you know, super commuter like me, it's just, Having said that,
if you watch the last 2 days, I mean, you know, Brandon has done as many stupid things as a person could do in his first couple of years, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a congestion tax on commuters, you know, which they just put in place in New York City.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, these poor people, they're like paying $40 more a day for their commutes because they commute, you know, over a bridge and then into these congestion zones. So commuting is going to be, I mean, look, this is part of the scheme. I mean, the overall scheme between regulation and increased costs is eventually you dissuade people. This is why cigarettes cost like $15 a pack now. If you can't talk them into sensibly doing things, then you make it price prohibitive, or you make it so ridiculous that eventually they can't afford to do it.
Right. Dr. Hermine Hartman was on with us yesterday. She wrote an article about what happened in New York, and I said, will it happen in Chicago? She said, no way, people won't allow it. I disagree.
Well,
they're going to do it here.
I mean, you know, look, they're so desperate for money. I mean, I got a notification in the mail that I was, you know, 1 mile over the limit of some zone that I didn't even know was a zone. And this, you know, the speeding cameras, the fees, the fines, the stuff. I mean, the city is grasping at every dollar they can get a hold of. And this is another way of imposing, you know, taxes on people who don't live in the city. So they figure, you know, they can doubly take advantage of you. You can't vote against the mayor because you don't live in the city. But I think they don't understand, you know, that at some point all these employees who are commuting are going to say to their employers, well, we just as soon work from home, or we just as soon have a location that's outside of the city. So,
okay, we only have 25 seconds left, but what do you think about Mark Zuckerberg's statement today?
I thought that he won the award for lapdog of the week with President Trump.
He started by showing up and giving him $1 million for his inauguration, right? We knew this.
I know, but this stuff is even worse. I mean, this stuff is just such a complete cave in. And then, as you know, as you guys said earlier, to move the operations from California to Texas, I mean, how stupid and symbolic could you possibly be? It's just insane. It's just
he could have moved him to Florida. He could have moved him to Florida.
I know, well, but he doesn't like DeSantis. You know, I mean, you can't do anything good for DeSantis. I mean, Trump is struggling with that. I mean, if he could move Mar-a-Lago, I think he'd try and move it out of Florida.
We appreciate you joining us, Howard. Have a great day.
Take care. Happy New Year.